بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله النبي الأمي الرؤوف الرحيم وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. As you might be aware that before the Majlis of Nasiha and Dhikr, inshallah, we are going to participate and perform a nikah, Islamic marriage and union, by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the command in the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam used to give some nasiha and guidance in the form of khutbah for the married couple beforehand, before performing the nikah. That's why the khutbah is read before the nikah, because if they are able to abide by it, then they should, and if they are not, then they should prepare themselves, and whenever they are ready, that's why there is no force upon the male or the female to perform nikah or to have nikah. It is sunnah, but it is mentioned in one of the books of hadith that a father came with a daughter to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said that, "I want to marry my daughter, but she is not marrying because she says she wants to know something before she can marry." So, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I brought her to you." So Prophet ﷺ said to the female companion, the young daughter of that Sahabi, "What is it you want to ask?" She said, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I want to ask what are the rites of husband which I had to perform so that I may decide that can I perform them or abide by them, otherwise that I will be very sinful." So Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't mention in detail. He alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned that if the husband nose starts to bleed and the blood of that nose bleeding actually flows all over the body, that all the body is covered with that blood, and if you clean that all that blood with your tongue, you will still not be able to fulfill the right of the husband as they should be, as what Allah has given them the honor. She said, "So what does this mean?" This means this indication that the person or the wife to be, they have to try their utmost and best actually to do their part. They can only do their part to fulfill the right the haqooq of the husband. They should not be conditional, because he doesn't fulfill mine, I am not going to fulfill his. Then they both will be sinful. But if one fulfills and the other does not fulfill, then the person who performs their duty and fulfills the rights, they become discharged. So, giving this is a message to the women of this ummah, an indication that what the mindset of the lady or the wife should be. And she will have to go through various hardships and inconveniences. So she said, that female companion said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, I don't think I'll be able to do that. So I am not, as my dad and father is saying, I won't perform nikah. So Prophet ﷺ didn't say to her that you must do it or you have to do it. She said, I don't think I can abide. So no one forced that lady, and she just went away without actually coming to the decision of nikah. People go to driving, they get trained beforehand. People fly aeroplanes, they get trained. People who want to adopt children, they get trained. People who want to train dogs, they get trained. And this is one of the important and very significant matters between human beings, the nikah. Unfortunately, people don't get trained for this. Don't get trained, don't get taught to the husband or the wife that what they should expect and what they should not expect. They only come to these things to learn about marriage after they are in trouble. Then they say, what is the right of the husband? What is the right of the wife? What should I do in this situation? This is just like going to war in the battlefield and then say that how shall I use the weapon? Then sometime it is too late, the enemy finishes off. So sometime for these people it's too late, the matter is ends. Obviously the person who is responsible, he will be or she will be, if they both are responsible. If one is, then the sin goes on that person, but the matter sometime ends. To the husband to be, or the husband, existing husband, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam advised them that women are created from the rib of Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam. And he said that the rib is bent naturally, it's made like that. But he alayhi salatu wasalam said the most bent part of the rib is the top part of the rib. The top part of the rib is the most bent, meaning so there is a curve and the curve is more on the top side. What does that mean? The mashayikh and the sharihin of hadith, they have said this means that the most curved part of the rib is the top part, and that refers to the mind and tongue, way of thinking, and the tongue, the usage of speech. And this is that the husband or the other people should understand that there will be some kind of difference, a different way of thinking in the women. They won't think like the men. Then their tongue also will not be speaking straightforwardly all the time, that there will be variance in there, some negativity in there, and in their minds and thoughts, some misunderstanding will be there. And you have to, if you want to live like to that woman, Rasulullah ﷺ said that you either, these are the rights of the husband to the extent that you should lick the blood and still actually don't consider that you have actually fulfilled the rights, there are such rights. And to the man, to the husband, the Prophet ﷺ said that if you want to live with the woman, then you have to accept that curvedness, that bent part of the rib, meaning her nature, her way of thinking especially. Like he said, the most curved is the part which is the top of the rib, meaning jis tarah banda hota hai uska upar wala hissa. Aurat ko to farmaya Nabi Pak ﷺ ne, jo पूछ रही थी शादी करने से पहले कि क्या हकूक हैं हामिद के सहाबिया को, तो आप अलैहिस्सलाम ने फरमाया कि अगर हामिद का जिस्म खून से भी लुथड़ जाए तो तुम जुबान से उसको साफ कर दो तो उसका हक अदा नहीं हो सकता. उस औरत ने फैसला किया मैं शादी नहीं करूंगी, तो किसी ने उस पर जबरदस्ती नहीं की कि भाई हकूक तुमने अदा करने, अगर तुम तैयार नहीं हो तो फिर भी जो फिर ज्यादा फितना फसाद और जुदाई होगी. आप तैयार करो अपने आप को, ये इसका मतलब ये है कि तैयार करना पड़ता है अपने जहन को, ये कह देना मैं नहीं चल सकता, मैं नहीं चल सकती, तो मीनिंग आइदर यू से दिस और यू प्रिपेयर, या अपने आप को तैयार करो. और मर्द को ये हुक्म दिया, ये तो औरत को हुक्म दिया और मर्द को ये हुक्म दिया कि औरत जो है ये हजरत आदम अलैहिस्सलाम की बाईं पसली से पैदा हुई. वो फरमाया कि इसमें थोड़ा सा जो है पसली में जिस तरह टेढ़ापन होता है, पसली टेढ़ी होती है और पसली का ऊपर वाला हिस्सा सबसे ज्यादा टेढ़ा होता है, ऊपर वाला हिस्सा सबसे ज्यादा टेढ़ा, तो इससे मुराद यह है कि भाई उसकी जुबान और उसके दिमाग की सोच और होगी, उसकी सोच और जुबान टेढ़ी चलेगी बहुत मर्तबा. तो मर्द को कहा कि अगर तुम इसके साथ रहना चाहते हो तो फिर तुम्हें ये बर्दाश्त करना पड़ेगा, यू हैव टू टॉलरेट इट इफ यू वांट टू स्टे विद इट, अदरवाइज ही अलैहिस्सलाम सेड इफ यू वांट यू ट्राई टू स्ट्रेटन द रिब, अगर पसली को सीधा करने की कोशिश करोगे तो वो टूट जाएगी. Meaning if you want to bring the women way of thinking and speech in within line of yours 100%, then still it won't come because it is not the against the reality of the women. They are made differently. Men are made differently. Their mindsets are different. Their way of thinking sometimes is different. So what's going to happen is that you are going to break the relationships. So donon ko ye nasihat farmayi. So those both parties should bear the difficulties as long as they are not harming the deen of each other. They should try to be together, and if they find that the women is an obstacle in deen, in propagation of deen, in practicing deen, and she say, oh, you will either live with me or you actually live with Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the deen, then a person is better actually to separate. Similarly for the women, if the husband becomes for example says to her to do some things which are against the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then she has no obligation to follow him. She should make a stand. She should make a stand and she should make a strong stand there. So That should be there. As I say often in my bayanats, that then we should not become people pleasers on the expense of displeasing God. We are created to become God pleasers, not people pleasers. So lot of us, many a times, we on the expense of displeasing Allah and displeasing the Messenger sallam, we become people pleaser. I want this person to be pleased. I want this family member to be pleased. I want this. Otherwise, that person will not be pleased with me. So people pleasers, if they displease Allah, after all, they are not going to get anything from the people. They will lose. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wa azza wa jal has created us to please Him, not to please people. And the expense of this, yes, we should try to please people, whilst if their demand or their request is lawful, alhamdulillah, pleasing people is a great virtue. But if pleasing people meaning displeasing Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, then this no virtue, it is vice. Because pleasing someone is a good thing, but pleasing Allah and His Messenger is the greatest good. And if pleasing people is a good, provided that a person does not displease Allah and His Messenger alayhi salatu wa sallam. But I say to people, that when husband and wife and families, they are happy, they are in happy mood, they are happy, they are pleased with each other, they displease Allah. First thing they do is, they do something displeasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are very happy, they say, okay, let's go and watch a movie. Very happy, let's go for a walk, and then even they might miss prayer or do, let's actually do this, let's do this, etc., etc. That is one of the dangers. When they become pleased, they displease Allah. And when they are displeased with each other, then they think about Allah. Still think about Allah. They don't want the pleasure of Allah, but they just want relief of their situation. Many people who come to the mosque and the zaviyas and khanqahs, they are not coming to fulfill the mission of their life or please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are just coming for relief of their situation, sometimes financially, sometimes marriage, sometimes social, sometimes medical, sometimes with people. They're just coming for relief. After the relief is done, they just actually fly away like actually the birds. Now they don't want to know anyone, because that was their intention. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, advised both husband and wife that this is the your reality, this is the nature, this is something you are entering. Don't say, I never knew this. You should know beforehand. And second thing is that you will be tested by each other. You will be comforted by each other. But many a times you will be tested by each other. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to test you with each other. How like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested Hazrat Asiya radiallahu ta'ala anha with Pharaoh. He tested Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam with his wife. He tested Hazrat Imam Hassan radiallahu ta'ala with his wife. So many a times people are actually. So there's no use actually saying, ki jis tarah bhi hai guzara karo, Allah Rasool bhi naraz ho jaye, koi baat diya hai tum guzara karo bhi. But wo maqsad khatam ho gaya, unhone to apna lose ho gaya wo. They have lost the purpose. Any relationship should go carry on going until it is Allah and His Messenger sallam, and Deen is safe actually and is pleased. If that's happening, then there is no harm, there is no loss actually in leaving and abandoning. Like Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, he abandoned his own immediate family, his uncle who brought him up like a father, his mother. He abandoned all of them. He said, "Bada bainana wa bainakul adawat wal baghda'u," that there is now animosity between us and you because you forced me to abandon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I'm not going to live there. Inni muhajirun ila rabbi. I'm going to migrate towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he actually left. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decided to have thousands and thousands of Anbiya alayhi salam from his progeny and his descendants. Because he left some family member, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, now until day of judgment, even people who are not in your ummah, they will be in the ummah of the Prophet Muhammad, but well, they will be saying, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammadin kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim. That they will be praying to and blessings for, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send durood and salam like he sent durood and salam on the Prophet Ibrahim and his family. So this is one. So purpose is not to, meaning going to extremes. One is that you actually displease Allah and His Messenger by pleasing the wife or the husband, that's wrong as well. And one is actually for personal reasons, yes, for personal reasons, if they don't serve you, if they are not fulfilling your rights as such, then a person, people are encouraged that to survive. It's a short while, you can survive. That is the some of the nasiha and some of the guidance which Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam gave to different his lifetime, and also in the khutbah as well there is much guidance as well. So yeah, and other nasiha for the husband and wife is that I say to people that 98%, 99% husband and wife, they have problems in between themselves. 99 or 100 you may say, they have problems, some kind of little more, less or more, serious or less serious. But how they survive and solved are not by third parties. It's never been the third party involvement has actually solved the long-term relationship. They can support, facilitate, but the main people who have to solve and compromise is these two people themselves. This is also a nasiha. That don't rely on your father and other and father-in-law and others and family. That yes, they can say things, they can advise, but the main, the pivot, that if you want a long-term successful relationship, it will be between you two have to actually compromise. And compromise means that give little bit away what you want and take little bit to you which you do not want. It doesn't mean that you give, that compromise means that you listen to whatever I say and the other say you give me whatever I say. That's not. So this is a matter as well. 98-99. And other nasiha for husband and wife is that they shouldn't spend too much time together in day and night. There should be a balance, a time for Allah, time for the deen, time for the work, and a portion for a husband, a quality time for husband and wife. So Prophet ﷺ used to spend a very short time, 15-20 minutes with every wife, from Asr till Maghrib. He used to go to their house, different houses, and talk with them, ask things from them, etc., etc. And in night time as well, he used to sleep after Isha, immediately, little bit of talking, and after Isha he used to sleep, and about midnight he would get up, pray tahajjud, then go to sleep, then get up tahajjud. So at night time he was also not spending all the time with his wives, but a portion only. And after, because this causes also problems when two people who are not purified, they stay together most of the time, they are going to harm each other. They are going to show their true colors to each other. So it's better. So going to prayer for salah, for masjid, for example, is also that it is like a departation. It is kind of separation. Going for deen, going for dawah, and work and other things, and spending some quality time together. That is because this is detrimental if it is done excessively. Ye bhi apna hota hai. Then problems do. And there are many other things and guidelines which the mashayikh and awliya and sulaha actually has given, but this is some of the their blessings and jewels of guidance which they give. And I, as I mentioned, that you should consider each other as a test and each other as a helper for going to Jannah and Paradise, so that you, people, all people who are sitting, who are married, they can be husband and wife forever in Jannah, not only in this temporal life. This temporal life is very, very short. Even their responsibilities on mothers, on fathers, and things and enjoyment is very, very temporal and very, very short. So the real enjoyment and pleasure and getting together will be in Jannah. So if they can work on these lines, then Alhamdulillah, actually they. And also, as I often say in some my bayanat, that the husband or the wife should consider from today, when she has nikah done, now her father and mother is actually his father, her father-in-law and mother-in-law. It's like father. So there are three parents of the person. One is the teacher, one is your actual father, biological father, one is the father-in-law. So now if she considers them her real father and mother as such, and give her same status, only then there will be convenience, there will be survivor. If she doesn't, then actually there will be problem. This is why. So now even the father and mother should have the prompt today. They are your father, mother, they give things to you, they do not give, they say harsh words to you, they are. Because real parents also sometimes are pleased with the children, displeased with the children. Sometimes they hit them, sometimes they admonish them in different ways. But when they come with this mindset in the other, in the in-laws' house, and they don't consider them their father and mother, then even small problem, they are going to become big. And every time she or he is going to phone, mother, father, you know, they are not looking good to me, etc. They are saying this to me, they are my clothing. Now, because they are listening to one-sided story, so they are going to maybe take action on it, actually. And this could be a strain on a relationship. Well, things like this, there are many, many things. But inshallah, we'll do the khutbah now. And inshallah, also perform the nikah. वो इजाजत नामा कहाँ है the permission letter to perform the nikah.
अस्तग़फ़िरुल्लाह
So this is an authorization letter in the presence of you, the Muslim crowd and Muslim people who are sitting, of the bride to give and her relatives and walis, whoever are representing, they are here as well, who have taken permission in the presence of two witnesses which are here as well, and they have signed and they have given me the permission to perform the nikah on their and her behalf. To ye hai to khutba bhi karte
hain. Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah.
Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bih wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما وقال نبينا سيدنا محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم النكاح من سنتي أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام وقال سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم من أحب سنتي فأحب مني أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام وقال سيدنا سيد الوجود شفيع المذنبين سيدنا وسيد الأنبياء والمرسلين فمن رغب عن سنتي فليس مني أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام ونفعنا وإياكم بالآيات والذكر الحكيم إنه تعالى جواد قديم كريم ملك بر رؤوف رحيم Those people who are witnesses on this paper here and witnesses of Nikah, can they come forward, sit somewhere? Yes, you can sit there, inshallah. They're sitting on the chair. It is Mr. Aulad Hussain, is it? And Mr. Brother Mu'izzuddin. Yes, they are the two witnesses, mashallah. And the sister's name is Karima Jannat, which you are representative?
Yes.
Karima Jannat. Mashallah. And the other witnesses from the groom, Brother Ghani Chowdhury and Wasim Abbas, they are here as well. Now before the nikah, the 300 mahar which is to be paid now, have you paid, or if not, then just you hand in to the representative of the sister. So the sister's name is Karima Jannat and daughter of Muhammad Kamaluddin, is that right? And Sheikh Muhammad Shah Alam, son of Haji Muhammad Abdul Rahman. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Nahmaduhu wa Nusalli wa Nusallimu ala Rasulihi Nabiyyi al-Ummihi wa ala Alihi wa Sahbihi wa Sallim. I, the sinful servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ahmad al-Dabbagh, with the permission and the presence of all these Muslims, especially the presence in the presence of witnesses which I have named before, and with 300 pound mahar which has been paid, I, by the will of Allah, by the command of Allah, and by following the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam regarding nikah, I have given Karima Jannat, the daughter of Muhammad Kamaluddin, in your nikah, your meaning Sheikh Muhammad Shah Alam, son of Haji Muhammad Abdul Rahman. Have you accepted this nikah? Again, if it has not been clear, I give Karima Jannat, daughter of Muhammad Kamaluddin, in the presence of these all Muslims, with the 300 pound mahar as a gift actually, which you have already paid, I give Karima Jannat in your nikah, and I have performed the nikah and have given in your nikah to Sheikh Muhammad Shah Alam, son of Haji Muhammad Abdul Rahman. Have you accepted? Just say, I have accepted Karima Jannat as my wife.
I have accepted Karima Jannat as my wife.
Jazakallah. Barakallahu wa jamaakuma khair. Mubarak ho ji Allah paak. Khush rakhe. Inke liye mukhtasar si dua kar rahe hain. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين يا رب العالمين يا رحم الراحمين. We are your sinful servants, especially myself. In this majlis there are all kinds of people, pious and righteous, elderly and young. يا رب العالمين يا رحم الراحمين. Whatever has been said regarding the nikah, that all the good is from you. Enable us to act upon it, and especially this new couple. Ya Rahman Rahim, give them blessings in this life and the hereafter. Make them husband and wife in both of these worlds and both of these faces of life, and enable them to help each other to please you, not to displease you, and save them from the evils of shaitan, evil of dunya, evil of themselves from each other, evil of the nafs, and evil of all whatever has been created in this world. Ya Rabbal Alameen, Ya Rahman Rahimeen, give blessing, tranquility, peace and love between all, and the strong bond between all husband and wife in the whole Muslim Ummah. Ya Rahman Rahimeen, if it is in their destiny, grant them the righteous offspring which can be a treasure for in the hereafter, and the means to sending them good deeds actually after their demise. Ya Rabbal Alameen, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen, Ya Malik, give them the opportunity and facilitate them for halal rizq in abundance, enable them to respect their parents and families, and save them from the calamities and the difficulties of this world. And if any calamity befalls them, grant them the forbearance and the sabr and patience. وصلى الله على النبي الأمه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما آمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين جزاكم الله. ٹھیک ہے جی, بیٹھے رہیں ابھی کچھ مجلس کے بارے میں سن لیں. بس یہ بھی نصیحت دی تھی, that was also a nasihat for you, mashallah, for myself as well. It's not specific to any one particular, it is general part, لیکن پھر بھی کچھ سن لیں آپ. اور بھی الحمد للہ وکفا وسلام علی عباده الذین اصطفى, خصوصا علی سید الرسل وخاتم الانبیاء وعلی آلہ الاتقیاء وعلی اصحابہ الاسفیاء. ونشہد ان لا الہ الا اللہ, ونشہد ان سیدنا ونبینا وشفیعنا محمدا عبده ورسوله, اما بعد. As you have seen in this world, all the time different activities, different occasions and circumstances are changing, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wa azza wa jal said in the Quran, الذي خلق الموت, it is he who have created death, that is also a creation of Allah. So death was before then life. He said خلق الموت والحياة and life. So that's why we say that in the beginning there was nothing but Allah, because death was there beforehand. Hayat and life in the spiritual world or in this earthly world came after. Now we are performing a nikah. After Zuhr, we offered a janaza, or rather two janazas in the mosque in Ashton. One of the janaza were of a baby, 5-6 month old baby, who have died. Their janaza came, funeral, and obviously the father, the mother, the others were upset and grieved and weeping. The other janaza after the baby was of an adult person who was in his early 40s maybe, who was very, very healthy 6 months before. Nothing wrong with his health was known. 6 months before, nothing wrong with his health. Then it was discovered that he has some kind of disease or tumor. And in 6 months' time, a young person, 40 years old or so, father of he was married, now he is passed away. So this is the reality of this world. We shouldn't be actually off the reality, living in a idealistic world. Both things should be kept in your view. And when we were, and when we are living, we say, I can't, for example, give time to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's deen because I have wife and children, I have work to do. But from past 5-6 months, the brother was lying in hospital. And today his children was there. It was a strange scene that actually his funeral was on the above, story, or the women were actually with the funeral maybe and the children before his janaza being read. And when the janaza, his body was being brought to the mosque, it's a big mosque actually, and his janaza was actually brought there in front of the people. From the door of the mosque's cries could be heard, someone calling, father, 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 and indeed the children, some of them were crying. In the mosque, people could hear. This is reality. Who is going to look after those children now? Who is going to be the breadwinner of the house now? Still the system will go on. Still the things are going on. So before this time comes, me and you should have a balanced life. Now also take time out for deen, for prayers, for conveying the message of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to the masses. 3 days, 10 days, 30 days, 1 month, 2 months, 3 months. Because you have to leave anyway, but at that time it will be no benefit. As I said in the Juma khutbah, still things will be going on. Your bills will still be coming. When you are in the grave, your bills on your name will be coming. Gas bill will be coming, insurance will be coming, mortgage will be coming, all things will be coming, but you will not be there. Still something is going to happen. So before that, don't get to the extreme. That is why in the deen, everything is kept for a reason. So if it is a janaza, salatul janaza is there for a reason. Reason, look, every salah has azan, iqama, and prayer. There is azan. Some people say there is no azan for janaza. There is no iqama for janaza. There is. But that has already been said when that person was born. When that person is born, baby is born on the right ear. In the right ear, azan is said, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And the left ear, iqama is said. قد قامت الصلاة. إن قام يسير قد قامت الصلاة. So this means that now only time left is the prayer, the janaza. So how much time really is between iqama and prayers? Maybe seconds. Seconds hote hain, iqamat ho jati hai to namaz khadi ho jati. After few seconds that the people get up and they stand in the prayers. To ye Allah ne iska nizam isi tarah banaya hai, janaze ki namaz ka, namaze janaza intentionally, so that it gives a lesson to people that the time which you have in between is like actually the time between iqama and the prayer, the beginning of the prayer. Because the azan has been said, the iqama has been said, only the prayer is left. Azan bhi ho gayi, aapki meri bhi ho gayi hai. Iqamat bhi ho gayi, the iqamat has been done. Now the prayer is left. Just a short while ago, maybe weeks ago, someone died. Koi banda mar gaya. They were to offer janaza. The imam was getting ready, but one of their relatives, he said, I want to give some nasiha before actually the janaza. He was an educated person, scholarly person. He gave them the nasiha 10-15 minutes, a very good reminder to the Muslims and the family and everyone. They said, the imam said that you are a knowledgeable person and a pious and righteous man. You might as well also lead the janaza prayer as well. Imam ne kaha, aap nek bande hain, aapne itni achhi nasihat farmayi, aap hi janaza bhi pada de, aap hi, aap nek bande hain. I didn't know you were in the gathering, but now as we have listened to you and it seems that you are scholarly, pious, righteous man, you might as well also lead the janaza. He said he entertained their request. And he also actually mentioned the etiquettes, the niyat of the janaza prayer, and also got out 1,000 rupees for actually the deceased, for his isale sawab. He said that this 1,000 rupees is for the isale sawab of the person. And he stood up on the musalla to actually perform the janaza, to lead the janaza. And after a few seconds, it was found that he died himself. Wo janaza uska abhi padha nahi saka, abhi niyat bata diya, 1,000 rupiah bhi haath mein hai abhi. 1,000 rupees was in his hand. Aur abhi wo abhi khada hai, wo gir gaya, udhar dekha to uski rooh jo hai wo nikal gayi hai. Ye janaza padhane wala shakhs jo hai, the one who was leading the prayer. So that is why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that, he said that when I look at something, I have no conviction that my eyesight will come back to me, that the death is closer to me. فرمایا جب میں کسی چیز نظریں میں دیکھتی ہیں تو مجھے یہ یقین نہیں کہ بھئی میں اب واپس بھی دیکھ سکوں گا. So the death is the most closest to the person than actually his life. So a person should be both keeping in balance. If husband and wife, marriage, families, they keep death in their presence, it benefits them. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, death is beneficial to remember all the time. If you remember in the time of calamity and musibah and difficulties, is going to alleviate your difficulty, because you will remember that this is not forever, this is not permanent, this is not for a long time, soon death will come and I will go. So any problem and difficulty will become easier for you, because when you know any problem and difficulty is forever, then it's a great pain. A person psychologically become disintegrated, a person becomes broken internally. But when you remember death, then you know that any time it will be over, this difficulty, this disability, this problem, whatever I'm going through, is not there forever. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that death is beneficial to remember even in musibah. And he said, death is beneficial to remember in happy occasions as well. Because we think, no, no, death should not be mentioned. Death is a door to eternal happiness. It's not actually something that, like we think. We think like that because actually we've destroyed our that eternal happiness. So that's why we don't like. But Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that in the time of happy occasion, like marriage or actually any other occasion, your birthday or your other things which you are, for example, celebrating, happy occasions, death is beneficial because remembering death will keep you in the bounds of Sharia, in the bounds of Islam. It will not let you transgress the limits set by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It will not let you pass the rules of the sunnah, but the circle of the sunnah of the prophetic life. It will not let you enter the shaitanic life outside the life of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So dekh rahe hain aap ke that how the death is beneficial in the state of happiness. So those people who say it is a marriage, it is nikah, it's my birthday, let's celebrate, let's actually do a mixture, whatever is right or wrong. They don't consider drinking alcohol, women and men mixing, and music and all sorts of these things. If these people have reminded themselves of death, that they are soon to go anytime, it will encourage them not to go out of the limit. But in these occasions, people become under pressure. Oh, this is only once in a lifetime marriage I have. Once in a lifetime, it doesn't matter. Once, do whatever you like. Once you have only few birthdays, do whatever you want, can to enjoy yourself. So the answer is that you also have once in a lifetime opportunity to please Allah as well. You only have one life. If that person is saying you have one marriage, similarly you only have one life as well. See, I can't actually give up that life forever for 1-2 hours. And as I said before, in these occasions, in these circumstances, don't become people pleaser. Don't seek the approval of people. Seek the approval of the creator of universe. Approval of people, what they will give you. You'll always be enslaved to their approval. What is that person thinking? What is he thinking? What is he thinking? What is she thinking? You it's like that you have so many gods, so many masters. Who are you going to please? It's very, very easy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, gave an example in the Quran. Astaghfirullah azim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, what about a person who have one master and the other has 10 masters? Who is in better position? A person, a slave who has one master to please and the other one has 10 masters to please. Who is in easy position? So by this, giving this example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us a lesson that either you can become people pleaser and seek many approvals of many people, or you can only seek approval and pleasure of one and the Almighty, who will suffice you from all other approvals. You don't need other approvals. So there is guidance. And Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that if you will remember death on the happy occasion, it will keep you in limit. If you remember in an occasion of you may say calamity, musiba, it will alleviate, relieve you. And if you remember death in when you are in the state of being deceived or encouraged to do sin from shaitan and nafs, so from where jab shaitan gunah ke khayal dal raha, the storms of shaitan, the storms of the nafs, people are pressurizing you to do sin. In state of that sinfulness state which you are trying to get in, or shaitan is trying to get in, if you remember at that time, it is going to put a stop actually to that, those temporal pleasures. You will be able to control yourself if you really actually can remember death at that time. So happy occasion, you benefit. Sad occasion, you benefit. And also at the time of when you are wanting to do sin, when the nafs is becoming rebellious, when shaitan is putting different thoughts, when people are encouraging you and society is pressurizing you, conditioning you, at that time death is beneficial. And if you remember death at the time of worship, it is going to refine and it is going to actually make your worship even better than before. Ibadat ke waqt yaad kar lo maut ko, to wo aapki ibadat ko haseen, beautify kar degi. And it's going, so there's always actually benefit, because that is the end, that is the door which a person have to go through. Sayyidina Umair Amawiya radiyallahu ta'ala once said to our mother Amma Aisha Siddiqa radiyallahu ta'ala anha, he radiyallahu ta'ala anhu sent a letter and asked Amma Aisha to give him some nasiha. But we don't seek nasiha. Hum jo hame jo nasihat karna shuru kar de, hum kahe tum kaun hote ho hame nasihat karne wale, hum khud hi theek hain. But great people, anbiya alaihim salam, ask nasiha from Allah. Sahaba ask nasiha from anbiya alaihim salam, and the great people ask nasiha from other great people and pious friends, and they always used to like that, and they would consider that that person is their well-wisher who gives them nasiha. So Hazrat Amir Maviya radiallahu anhu was a ruler of the Muslim world at that time, a king at that time, but he still asked nasiha from Hazrat Amma Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha. And Sayyida Tahira Siddiqa Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha sent him a letter and he said, what nasiha I can give you? I'll transfer one of the nasai, one of the advice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to you. He said, inni sami'tu, I heard from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said to the lesser more effect of the hadith. So Sayyidina Amir Maviya radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, Amma Aisha said that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that if you will please Allah, and by that doing that you displeased people, sometimes you have to choose, you see. Sometimes you can please both, sometimes you have to choose. He said, if you please Allah and displease people, Allah is going to safeguard you from all their evil planning and their harm. He said, that's what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. آپ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے فرمایا کہ اگر ایسا موقع آ جائے کہ لوگوں کو لوگ کہہ رہے ہیں ہم ناراض ہو جائیں گے, اگر اللہ کو راضی کرو گے تو لوگ ناراض ہو جائیں گے, اگر داڑھی رکھو گے بیوی ناراض ہو جائے گی, اگر جو ہے سنت پہ چلے گے لوگ چھوڑ دیں گے, اور اگر نماز بھی پڑھے لوگ مولوی کہیں گے, لوگ ناراض ہو جائیں گے. پیپل ول بی ڈسپلیز ود یو. پروفیسر صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم سیڈ, اللہ سبحانہ تعالیٰ از گوئنگ ٹو سیف گارڈ یو اینڈ گیو یو وٹ ایور دے وانٹ ٹو بی ہولڈ فرام یو, from his own treasures. Allah can compensate and will compensate the honor, the risk, whatever they are trying to keep away from you. Jo bhi wo tumse dur rakhna chahte hai, izzat kehte hain, tumhari izzat nahi karenge, tum fakir ho jaoge, tum gareeb ho jaoge, Allah dega us bande ko. And furthermore, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Amma Aisha narrates, that if someone will displease Allah and please people, pressure, bada masla hai ji, I am in a big problem, I have to now please these people somehow, because this is the need of the time, this is the nature of the time, and you know very well that you will displease Allah on that occasion. Then Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Allah is going to leave you abundant and take away all his help and mercy away from you, and will leave you to people, whatever they do with you now. And when anyone is left to people, they always actually harm the person, they make use of the person. تو یہ اللہ کی رضا اتنی بڑی چیز ہے. تو حضرت امیر معاویہ رضی اللہ تعالی عنہ was very very happy and pleased because he said I never heard this saying of the Prophet صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم which امہ عائشہ صدیقہ رضی اللہ تعالی عنہ narrated. تو یہ ہے اصل چیز, یہ ہے اصل چیز, اور موت ہے وہ جس کے لیے ہم محنت کر رہے ہیں. موت کے پار جو زمانہ, جو وقت آنے والا ہے, the time which is to come, and this is the Aisha Siddiqa رضی اللہ تعالیٰ نصیحہ as well as رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم's actual نصیحہ. So in طریقہ محمدیہ we try ourselves to seek approval of Allah and the pleasure of Allah. If on the way people are pleased, good and well, we'll take them with us as well, but we won't become people pleaser and God displeaser if we have to choose. So always have in mind, some people say you should always be good to people, you know, you should always be good to people. Yes, you should be good to people. Sometimes being good means being harsh with them. For example, if they are saying listen to the backbiting of others and ghibat of others, being good to them means you stop them. Being good to them means at least saving them from hellfire. Being good to them doesn't mean you throw them in hellfire. So when you stop yourself for anyone, it's as though you are saving them from hellfire and taking them to the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So may Allah azza wa jal enable me and you to understand, and the power which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has empowered us with already, to utilize that power. Until you utilize that power, Allah is not going to help you. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إن الله لا يغير, Allah is not going to change you, حتى يغير, until you change within yours, meaning the power which Allah has already given you, use that to change first and then ask more from Allah. And when you're not using that, no more power coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to you in the normal sense. So inshallah, if you think that you are on the journey to the pleasure of Allah, good and well, take others and me and everyone there. If not, if you're finding difficulty, if you're finding hard, if you are seeking the approval of people, you have become a people pleaser rather than God pleaser, then you need some prescription, you need some guidance, you need some nasiha, and that is the nasiha known as the nasiha of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the tariqah Muhammadiyah, the way and the methodology to deliver that nasiha, to deliver you from the slavery of shaitan to the slavery of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to become the follower of the leader of all the prophets, Sayyidina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Inshallah, if you would like to know how to become a true slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah, just for about 15 minutes or so, we have small study circles after the Isha Salah, where a person will be taught how he can step by step reach the closest of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So those brothers who would like to know more and sit in the circles, just please, if you would give your names, inshallah. Just raise your hands. Yes, please. Oh, you young guys should be ashamed of the Buzruk that has put their hands up. We're not asking for any money, there's no allegiance or anything yet. It's just 15 minutes where you can have overview. It's something that attracts you, which why you shouldn't, because it's bringing you close to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then you should take the most of this opportunity, inshallah. While you're thinking about that, I'll just do a couple of more announcements. One is, next week there will be no Monday Majlis, however we will have our monthly Durood and Salaam and Gyarmishi Majlis in Oldham Zabia, which will be Sunday the 9th of October after Isha Jamaat, which will be at 8:15. So please bring all your families, the sisters and the children, and participate in this blessed gathering, inshallah. The other announcements are that alhamdulillah, a couple of times a month, brothers go out to different localities just for the purpose of pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and conveying that message to the people, or Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam conveyed to the Sahaba, and they sacrifice their lives. We're not asking anybody to sacrifice their lives, it's just a sacrifice of some time. We're not even asking you for any money. You just go spend some time in the house of Allah, where you will learn basics, rulings about faith, and other activities, and most importantly, going out to convey this message to others so people can be saved, as well as ourselves, from the hellfire. So we have two camps. One will be a weekend camp for those brothers who are working during the week. This will be on Friday the 14th to Sunday the 16th in London. So those brothers who want to participate in that, please, if you stand up and give your names. And those brothers who are upstairs, they can give their names to one of the brothers as well, inshallah. The other is a weekday Jumaat, which will be in Oldham Zawiya, our centre there. This will be from Tuesday the 25th to Thursday the 27th. For those brothers who are busy at the weekends, this is a great opportunity for them. So if they can stand up and give their names for that as well. And as most of you are aware, inshallah, our teacher and some brothers will be going to Morocco tomorrow for this purpose as well. So we request that all brothers do dua, that Allah keeps us under His protection, and whichever purpose and intention we are going for, Allah fulfills that. And also, as you know, this is a spiritual journey as well. So we have been told many times before, some people out of financial restrictions or other problems. Obviously, everybody would like to go, but if they can't, they can also spiritually benefit. And you can ask the brothers the certain amount you can do, which are approximately a quarter of the activity that the brothers will be doing there, as well as, you know, increasing your dawah and tabligh, inshallah. So this information you can get from one of the brothers after the majlis, and try your best to also to do these amount as well, inshallah.
जब जिक्र की मजलिस खत्म हो जाएगी? नहीं, जब जिक्र की मजलिस खत्म हो जाती है, और किसी ने कोई? यस सर, वालेकुम सलाम रहमतुल्लाहि व बरकातहू।
हज़रत साहब, सबसे पहले मैं ये पूछना चाहता हूँ कि इस पुरातन दौर में पर्सन लाइक मी नाउ मैरिड एंड लुकिंग फॉर गुड रिश्ता, सो कैसी शादी कैसे मतलब के उनको ढूंढना चाहिए अपने लाइफ पार्टनर, और दूसरे नंबर पे जिना से कैसे बच सकते हैं?
جی اس کے لیے جی اور بھی ہے ایسا سوال؟ اچھا ہاں، اس میں یہ ہے کہ اس رشتے کے بارے میں آپ علیہ الصلوۃ والسلام نے تفصیل کے ساتھ کچھ ہدایات دی ہوئی ہیں، بنیادی ابھی خلاصہ ہی میں تو بیان کر سکتا ہوں۔ اس میں یہ ہے کہ سب سے پہلے آپ اللہ سے مانگیں، نماز حاجت پڑھ کے اللہ آپ کی مدد کرے، اللہ ہی کے قبضے میں ساری چیزیں ہیں۔ دوسری بات یہ کہ جب نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے جو گائیڈنس دی ہے کہ بھئی دو چیزیں خاص طور پر آپ دیکھیں، ایک تو جو بھی جس بندے کو دیکھیں اس بندے کا سب سے پہلے آپ کی پرائیورٹی ہونی چاہیے کہ اس کا جو اخلاق، اس کی شخصیت، اس کی دینداری، وہ ضروری نہیں ہے کہ وہ مذہبی ہونا ہی یہ اخلاق کی بھی علامت ہوتی ہے، ضروری نہیں ہے۔ ایک بندے نے داڑھی رکھی ہے یا عورت پردہ کر رہی ہے، وہ کیا پتا وہ اندر سے وہ بہت اپنا اخلاق اس کے بہت برے ہوں، ہو سکتا ہے۔ ایسے نہیں بھئی، یہ سائنس پہ نہیں جانا چاہیے، بلکہ جو لوگ ان کو جانتے ہیں ان سے پوچھنا ہے بھئی وہ کس طرح کی شخصیت ہے, غصے میں کیا کرتی ہے یا غصے میں کیا کرتا ہے وغیرہ وغیرہ, اور چیزیں بھی شخصیت کیسی ہے, اخلاق جس کو کہتے ہیں. دوسری بات پھر جو حضور علیہ السلام نے اس کی بھی تلقین فرمائی کہ بھائی اس کا جو ظاہری جو شکل و شباہت ہے وہ بھی آپ کو قابل قبول ہونی چاہیے, کہ آپ کو قابل قبول ہو. اس لیے آپ علیہ السلام نے فرمایا دیکھ لو. لوگ بعض لوگ ہیں وہ دیکھتے نہیں ہیں, اور جب جہاں نہیں دیکھنا وہاں دیکھتے رہتے ہیں عورتوں کو بازار میں, اور جب دیکھنے کی باری آتی ہے اس وقت کہتے ہیں ہم ویسے ہی ٹھیک ہے جی, پھر بعد میں پھر کہتے ہیں ہمیں نہیں پتا تھا. تو یہ نہیں, یہ نہیں, اس وقت جو ہے کہ مناسب طریقے سے دیکھ لو. جب یہ دو چیزیں بھی ہو جائیں اور رشتہ مل گیا ہے کوئی مثال کے طور پر, جتنا جتنا نہیں ملتا تو صلاۃ الحاجت پڑھیں, اللہ سے مانگیں, اور جب مل گیا تو اب جو ہے تاکہ آپ نے تو ظاہری طور پر دیکھ لیا وہ اچھی ہے یا اچھا ہے رشتہ ہے یا نہیں, اس سے زیادہ تو آپ نہیں جانتے. اب آپ کو کیا پتا اس کے اندر کیا ہے, یا پانچ سال بعد اس نے مرد ہے اس نے شیطان بن جانا ہے, عورت ہے اس نے چڑیل بن جانا ہے, آپ کو کیا علم اس کا. تو یہ تو بندے کے بس کی بات نہیں ہے. اس لیے پھر اس وقت وہ دو رکعت نماز استخارہ کا مطلب یہ ہوتا ہے کہ وہ اللہ سے مانگے, اللہ پاک ہمیں کچھ نہیں پتا فیوچر کا اور غیب کی دنیا میں کیا ہونے والا ہے, آپ جانتے ہیں, آپ ہماری رہنمائی کریں. اگر یہ بہتر ہے تو یہ ہو جائے, اگر نہیں بہتر تو مجھے کہیں اور میری رہنمائی کر دے. تو پھر یہ ہوتا ہے خواب نہیں آتی بندے کو, ضروری نہیں خواب کے پیچھے نہیں جانا چاہیے, خواب نہیں آتی بلکہ وہ رشتہ اگر بہتر ہے ہو جائے گا, اگر نہیں تو کہیں اور معاملہ چل پڑے گا, یہاں سے رک جائے گا خود بخود جو ہے. باقی جو آپ نے پوچھا وہ زنا سے کس طرح بچنا ہے, تو زنا سے تو یہی نکاح کا راستہ ہے, حلال طریقہ ہے, ورنہ وہ حلال طریقہ یہی بچنے کا راستہ ہے. اور جب تک کہ نکاح کی جو ہے معاملہ نہیں بنتا تو اس وقت تک پھر بندہ اپنا تزکیے پر اور تقوی پر, تزکیہ نیک صحبت رکھے, صحبت صالح اولیاء اللہ مشائخ اور صالحین کے ساتھ اپنا رکھے, غلط جگہوں میں اپنا جائے اس وقت تک اپنا حفاظت کرے, اور ایسی جگہوں میں ایسے لوگوں کے ساتھ جو ہے نہ جائے جو اس چیز کو ابھارتے ہیں, بلکہ اپنے آپ کو مشغول رکھے. اور ایک حدیث میں ہے کہ آپ علیہ السلام نے فرمایا کہ جو بندہ نکاح کرتا ہے اس کا رزق بڑھتا ہے, اس کا رزق بڑھتا ہے. کئی لوگ ہیں وہ نہیں کرتے, جی ہم اپنے آپ کو نہیں دے رہے تو اس کو کیا ہوگا, ساری زندگی یہی ہے وہ 35-35 سال 40-40 سال عورتوں کی مردوں کی عمر ہو گئی ہے, وہ ابھی خود ہی سیٹل ہو رہے ہیں, وہ اتنا سیٹل ہوتے ہوتے بھائی قبر میں سیٹل ہونے کا ٹائم آ جائے گا. تو اس لیے یہ حدیث شریف میں ہے کہ جب بندہ اللہ کی رضا کے لیے اب نکاح کرتا ہے تو اللہ اس کے رزق کو اضافہ کرتے ہیں. اگر دنیا کے لیے ویسے کر رہے ہیں تو یہ اس کے لیے نہیں ہے, لیکن جو کرے گا اس نیت کے ساتھ تو یہ ہے اس طرح انشاءاللہ. وعلیکم السلام ورحمۃ اللہ.
بچہ جو شادی میں دیر کرتے ہیں
جی,
لے کرتے جاتے ہیں کرتے رہتے ہیں, جا بھی ان کے پاس ہوتی ہے مکان بھی ہے, پھر بھی وہ شادی میں دیر کرتے ہیں
جی جی,
25 کے 30 کے 35 کے ہو جاتے ہیں
جی,
تو ان کے لیے کیا چاہیے, تو والدین کے لیے کیا,
یعنی بچے جاب کی وجہ سے دیر کرتے ہیں,
جاب بھی ہوتی ہے
اچھا
مکان بھی ہوتا ہے لیکن پھر بھی ڈیلے کرتے جاتے ہیں, ان کے لیے کیا.
ہاں دیکھیں اس میں نصیحت تو کیا ان کو خود بھی پتا ہے کہ آپ علیہ السلام نے اس پر تنبیہ فرمائی ہوئی ہے, فرمایا کہ جب رشتہ کوئی مناسب آ جائے بیٹی کے لیے یا بیٹے کے لیے تو اس کے بعد جیسے آپ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے فرمایا ہوا ہے کہ بھئی تین کاموں میں دیر مت کرو, جب نماز کا وقت ہو جائے, نماز کا وقت ہو جائے تو اس کے ادا کرنے میں, اور جب جنازہ تیار ہو جائے تو اس کے جنازہ پڑھنے میں, اور فوتگی کوئی ہو جائے, اور جب مناسب رشتہ آ جائے تو اس بھائی اب نکاح میں دیر مت کرو. ایک تو یہ حکم ہے, اس میں فتنہ پیدا ہوگا, کوئی اور غلطیاں کمیاں کوتاہیاں ظاہر ہوتی ہیں. تو عموماً جو ہے بچے جو ہے یا وہ جاب بھی ہے مکان بھی ہے وہ دیر اس لیے کرتے رہتے ہیں, بعض مرتبہ یہ ہوتا ہے ایک جب تو ہوتا ہے کہ ان کا کوئی تعلق بعض دفعہ غلط ہوا ہوتا ہے برے کسی بندے سے, دوسری وجہ یہ ہوتی ہے کہ وہ آئیڈیل رشتہ ڈھونڈتے رہتے ہیں, یہ بھی نہیں پسند, 10 رشتے آ رہے ہیں 12 آ رہے ہیں یہ بھی نہیں پسند, یہ ہے وہ یہ ہے, اس میں یہ خرابی ہے اس میں یہ خرابی ہے, تو وہ بہت یعنی اس کے چوزی ٹائپ جو ہے بیہیویئر ان کا ہوتا ہے. تو بعد میں ان کو پھر ایسا رشتہ قبول کرنا پڑتا ہے جو کبھی بھی وہ ان کے لیے مناسب نہیں تھا, اس جو ہے ناشکری کی وجہ سے. کہ اب تو پھر جو عمر بڑھتی گئی اب تو پھر ان کو وہ کرنا پڑے گا جو بھی آ گیا. پھر بعض دفعہ یہ ہوتا ہے تو ان کو, کیونکہ وہ اس زندگی سے واقف نہیں ہوتے, بچے ہوتے ہیں, مطلب ابھی نوجوان ہیں, تو ان کو سمجھانا چاہیے کہ ہم کوئی افسانوی دنیا میں, آئیڈیالسٹک ورلڈ میں نہیں رہ رہے جنت میں, ہم اس دنیا میں رہ رہے ہیں. اس میں یہی ہے کہ کسی میں کوئی خوبی ہے, کسی میں کوئی خرابی ہے. مجموعی طور پر دین اور اچھی شکل شباہت دیکھ کے کر لیں. ایجوکیشن, تعلیم اور پیسہ ضرور یہ نہ اپنا, اس کو پرائیورٹی مت بنائیں. ہمارے ہاں یہ ہے کہ اگر بچہ, جیسے آپ پڑھ رہے ہیں, بچے نے ایم اے کیا ہوا ہے یا جو بھی ڈگری ہے, اب وہ رشتہ پوچھے گا یا بچی نے ایم اے, تو پوچھیں گے رشتہ تو بہت اچھا ہے, اس ڈگری اس کے پاس کون سی ہے؟ اچھا اس کے پاس بی اے ہے, کہیں گے نہیں ایم اے ہونا چاہیے, ایم ایس سی ہونا چاہیے. بھائی اس نے کوئی لیبارٹری چلانی آ کے یا کہ گھر چلانا ہے آ کے یا اسکول چلانا ہے؟ اس نے تو بھائی گھر چلانا ہے. بھائی وہ انسان کیسا ہے, اخلاق کیسے ہیں, اس کی طبیعت کیسی ہے, تو اپنا یہ چلا, یہ پوچھیں. یہ ہمارے لوگ پوچھتے نہیں, پوچھتے ڈگری کیا ہے, کام کیا ہے بچی کا, اور وہ جب آتے پھر اس سے ایکسپیکٹ کرتے ہیں کہ وہ ہاؤس وائف بنے یا وہ بچوں کا خیال رکھے یا میرا خیال رکھے. وہ تو کہے گی میں نے جاب چاہیے مجھے, تو بچہ کہے گا میں یہ کرنا ہے, اس سے پھر وہ فتنہ فساد پیدا ہوتا ہے. تو والدین کو بھی یہ چاہیے جو پوچھ رہے ہیں کہ وہ جب بچے 16-17-18 سال کے ہو جائیں تو وہ ان کے بارے میں سوچنا شروع کر دیں کہ بھئی ان کا جو ہے نکاح وغیرہ جو ہے وہ کہاں کرنا ہے, یا کس طرح بھئی سوچنا شروع کر دیں, اور ان کو آپشن تو دیں, فورس نہ کریں, لیکن ساتھ یہ بھی نہ کہ بھئی کھلا چھوڑ دیں کہ بھئی جب مرضی آیا وہ ان کا کر لیں گے, کیونکہ وہ واپس ذمہ داری آپ پاری جو ہے وہ پڑے گی. وہ پرائیورٹی ان دو چیزوں کو, بے شک غریب ہو, ایجوکیشن زیادہ نہ ہو, لیکن بھئی اس طرح کا بندہ ہو, عقل مند, اور یعنی کام کاج اور جو شکل و شباہت اور اخلاقی طور پہ, کیونکہ اگر یہ دو صفتیں ہیں تو وہ خود ہی دوسری دو چیزیں پیدا کر لے گا اپنے اندر. دو سال تین سال بعد وہ کئی لوگ یہاں آئے ہیں وہ بزنس مین اور بڑے بن گئے ہیں, وہ پہلے کچھ بھی نہیں تھے. وہ نکما بندہ ہے جو مرضی جہاں اس کو لے جائیں, ایجوکیشن ہے اس کے پاس کچھ, لیکن وہ اپنا یعنی وہ فیلئر ہی رہے گا جہاں بھی رہے گا. یہ ہے. وعلیکم السلام و رحمۃ اللہ. یس پلیز. We do now and then actually in Birmingham area. Previously we used to have monthly or after 2 months etc. like this.
Do you reckon they'll be doing it more?
Sorry? Permanently? If you will invite, we will come. We inshallah, we are not. Inshallah, if you invite, we will come. Inshallah, there is no harm in that. That is very good of you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you more blessings than. Inshallah. You contact the brothers, so they have the schedule, and then inshallah we can fit in. And our program that we don't charge money to people, we don't demand anything, only the facilitation, and that's all inshallah. Not even food. Food inshallah we'll eat ourselves.
Okay, as well.
That's up to you, meaning actually, but from ourselves we should be clear. You see, we don't demand allegiance, bath from people, we don't demand any fees from people, we don't demand membership or anything whatsoever. It is only their good wishes and commitment and time. ٹھیک ہے جی, پھر جزاک اللہ, بھی ذکر کی مجلس کر لیں پھر نماز. سبحانک اللہم و بحمدک, نشهد ان لا اله الا انت, نستغفر ونتوب اليك.